Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon's private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab on the road. So that's a new section. I just started here for the first time. I am at the Avask headquarters in Southampton with my close friend here, Piero. Today, we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic. So I always talk about expansion into Europe. But at the same time, let's be honest, it's a Pandora box. It's very difficult to figure out what is the most efficient way for you, especially if you're coming from a market like the US, to find the efficiency in terms of how you get the goods into the market. And also on top of that, how you make sure you pay the lowest rates in terms of taxes and all of that. So that's all going to be today's episode about it. We're going to talk about what are some of the tricks you can implement, what are some of the latest things that is happening in the space. And basically, yeah, what is the right blueprint for you to enter Europe and dominate? So Piero, welcome to this episode. How you doing, my friend?
Very, very good. Thank you for having me. The second time, E-Commerce Lab.
Yeah.
Well, it's quite cool. I appreciate being invited back. And most importantly, what I wanted to express, especially one thing that you've been saying all day, actually, the Pandora box side of things. And it's like you almost don't know what you're going to get when you open it, right? And I think it's a great way of saying, I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, you said it. I'm going to trademark it.
I'll pay for it. So, and you're absolutely right. And I've been saying, our good friend Danny McMillan says it as well, where it's all about the barriers of entry into Europe, and they can be quite high.
Yeah.
But once you've kind of broken those down, it's much easier to go and and start being one of the biggest growing markets in the world, because, you know, marketplaces such as Amazon and the other marketplaces that you're working with, they are constantly expanding towards other countries as well. So it's still growing, which is quite interesting. So one thing that I push with Cato Global Logistics and Avast, what we try to do is try and push that business efficiency as much as possible, because we want clients that use us and clients that come into Europe to be successful here. It's our best priority and best priority for the client as well. So that's what we try and push. And there's so many different methods to cut costs, to be tax efficient, but at the same time, being as targeted as possible to your client basis. And I know I've been drilling this down to your head all day.
Where love it.
I talk about the Netherlands quite a lot. And if you look at our social media as well, I'm always concentrating on Amsterdam and Rotterdam being great points of entry to Europe.
Yeah.
And I'll explain a little bit maybe later on how that works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be honest, the whole day now I feel the master of Europe. I learned so much here in Avast the whole day. We've been basically strategizing what are the right blueprints to implement with some of the brands we're bringing to Europe. And I think some of the main questions I get all the time, and that's why I wanted to do this episode so you guys can also get this value, is first of all, how I bring my inventory to Europe, right? We all know that when it comes to expansion to Europe, usually the choices are two, especially if you want to enter with a strong, basically, opportunity to basically expand into this area. So that's usually the UK and Germany. Now, usually the question is, how do I get my goods? Should I get it straight to the UK? Should I get it straight to Germany? What are some of the options I have on the table? I guess we can start first with the UK, right? Because the UK is usually the first consideration for US brands. Because let's be honest, you speak the same language. There's some cultural similarities. So it makes usually a product that works in the US be compatible with the UK audience. So let's start with the UK. Like, what are some of the considerations if you're a US company selling Amazon USA that you want to expand to Amazon UK? What is the first starting point to bring your inventory?
Absolutely. Great question. I think it's a great point. I think, obviously, you may tell with our British accent that being based in the UK, we do love American products, American brands, and American culture, such as American movies as well. So I think it is the obvious next step that a lot of American brands take. And in terms of steps to take, is in terms of entry, it's actually not too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing to consider is Obviously, you're going from a market that is big to a market that has around 66 million people in living in. So in terms of the UK, the way Amazon Prime works, if you were to sell on Amazon, it's next day delivery. So it's this certain standards that British consumers are kind of looking for.
Yeah.
But in terms of entry, it is some of the biggest acronyms going in terms of tax. It's VAT and EURI number, which is something that you need in terms of importation. You'll need your indirect representation for the customs clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, and most importantly, is probably the responsible person making sure that your product is ready to be sold. Once you have those places and you have all those set up, all you need is a shipping company that's ready to ship those goods into you into the UK.
Awesome. And I think something we actually were discussing today, which I wasn't aware of this, and I think we should bring to the public, is that everything when it comes to the responsible person now in Europe is changing. Like there is actually going to be enforced towards the end of the year. So tell us a little bit about that, because I'm sure if people maybe starting to hear some noise out there in the communities and all that. So what is this change about? Like, how is this going to change the landscape for brands coming into Europe?
Yeah, absolutely. In Europe, basically, you need to have someone that is jointly liable of your goods being sold in Europe. And having those regulations basically needs to go through, your products need to go through an audit and have a clear address based in the UK or the EU in your label saying that this company is representing us in this particular country. Now, being a lot of questions that I get asked, is myself setting up another company in this particular, in the UK or in the EU, is that a necessity? It's something that can help a little bit, but the responsible person kind of can help you at a fixed cost, can help your product being sold under your current company. I was talking to you about this earlier, where setting up a new company is only really good if you're planning on changing operations completely. So there are plenty of opportunities in terms of partners that we work with as well. They can kind of help give you that responsible person. They'll do the audit and they'll do the labeling side of things as well for you to be able to make sure that your product is compliant to be able to be sold in these countries.
Awesome. Now, I think one of the things that people don't know, and this is something that you guys are partners directly with Amazon, is that we're having the conversation, like usually the UK is the first frontier when it comes to entering Europe. But now actually Amazon, with some programs that are working directly with Avast and Kata, now basically it allows the facility of basically bringing goods into Europe. So tell us a little bit about that, because I think people feel like if I need to do the UK and Germany at the same time can be complex, or maybe I do first UK, but they don't know that then UK can be the trampoline toward Europe as well. Right?
It's a great, great point. I think it's something that I speak to a lot about my clients, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a takeover over the world straight away, right?
You're not playing risk.
You don't have to go and then, I'm going to sell in every single of those 196 countries in the world straight away. It can be a step-by-step process. And what we work with Amazon on the Amazon Transport Service, working on our customs basis, we have a fantastic parcel option that's done directly through Amazon to be able to send goods from a UK FBA warehouse all the way to either a German or French FBA warehouse. You'll still need the VAT setup to be able to sell in Germany and France and then get the goods into Europe. But once those are set up, the cost to be able to actually send those parcels is heavily subsidized by Amazon. And it is Amazon truckloads moving goods from the UK into France and Germany. What are the massive perks that you get? First of all, you get some pretty fixed fee in terms of sending those parcels across to Europe. And secondly, you're not paying for VAT, import VAT when importing the goods into Europe, because we are using schemes and we're moving goods into countries that have facilitators in terms of VAT deferral. And as we're doing the HS code, we'll also tell you exactly how much duty you're paying each time you're importing those goods into Europe as well. So it's a fantastic facilitator. It's something that post-Brexit, Amazon has pushed to facilitate UK brands to be able to, and UK selling brands to facilitate them moving across goods across to Europe. And we have loads of US brands doing that as well, because they have now established into the UK, and now they want to start testing the market into Europe, and it's a really good first step, towards Europe.
Yeah. Now, I want to start shifting the conversation to Europe, right?
Yes.
As I mentioned, UK is usually the starting point, but again, Germany is also a very big market. Then we see markets such as the French one, Italian and Spanish, like they're growing as well. So some people might want to also go down the route and start with those. You at the beginning of the episode, you mentioned Netherlands, right? So this is something that is becoming a more well-known strategy, but at the same time, people hear about Netherlands, but they don't really understand what is the perks of going to the Netherlands, right? So I guess it would be great to start to dissect that blueprint, like why people is using Netherlands in the strategy, and what are some of the things you should consider if you want to make a profit the strategy?
Yeah, it's funny. I think you've noticed as well. And actually, my friends have started joking around with me on how obsessed I am with the Netherlands. Yeah. Because we are doing lots of content behind this.
I hope it's
this.
Not because of Amsterdam.
No. Luckily not. I always speak about Rotterdam and Amsterdam as entry points to the Netherlands. Obviously, Amsterdam Schiphol as an airport for air cargo, and Rotterdam as an ocean through ocean ports.
It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest.
Yeah, it's honestly pretty huge. Great. Yeah, the operationally they are pretty fantastic as well. And that's why they're so popular. So the main reason why we push the Netherlands, especially with Qatar Global Logistics, is two options here. If the Netherlands is becoming a great point of entry, because with Qatar Global Logistics, what we do is we can represent you on a limited fiscal rep basis. That means that we are representing your goods in the Netherlands on a small period of time. You have about 90 days to be able to move around your goods. Once we move the goods through the Netherlands, we can deliver the goods anywhere to any warehouse in Europe or to our final B2B client. Exactly. Let's say you have a client that wants a product delivered to them. We can do that on a B2B basis because we have a massive partner network that can move the goods to any country in the EU. What are the perks? So let's say I'm going to start comparing the Netherlands to other countries in the EU. And most effectively, a lot of businesses will try and in the EU especially, then look into Germany and France mainly. That's in Germany mainly because that is the biggest e-commerce market in the EU. The main problem that we have with Germany is when importing goods into Germany, Germany will charge a certain percentage on the cost of goods, for example. So if you're a European business, they'll charge 19% import VAT. You reclaim it two months to a year later, okay? On cash flow, that has certain issues that you see.
Yeah.
For any non-EU company, actually, if you're importing goods into Germany, Germany has something called the deductive method. So they charge import VAT on a percentage which is much higher to the value of your goods. It's not just your value of your goods. Yeah, it's a little bit harsh. It's not just the value of your goods that has been taken. It's the retail price gets taken into consideration when that happens. So I think it's really important to kind of look into other issues, because we've had some nightmares where we've had multiple thousands of euros being stuck in Germany and not being reclaimed because the client is going to the German authorities, and the German authorities are still doing inspections around it. The client's done nothing wrong, but the German authorities feel like they need to do the inspection. And that is a problem. It's something that we're trying to avoid as much as possible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that any other country does less inspections.
Yeah,
they do. However, in terms of the cash flow side of things, there are many facilitators. And as I said, by shipping through the Netherlands, using the limited fiscal representation, what we can do is completely defer the import VAT cost. And we spoke about this already. Deferment is not the right word.
We need to correct that,
because deferment is not necessarily quite the right word, because what you're basically saying to a tax authority is that, look, I'm importing these goods to be sold. I am going to, I'm going to defer the import VAT. But actually, why should I pay in the first place and try and reclaim it when I'm going to reclaim it anyway? It's just a transactional thing. Yeah. And
it's just a paperwork, actually. Yeah. But money is not going out of your pocket, which is the game here. It's a cash flow game.
Yeah. So if we consider, instead of Germany on a $5,000 worth of cargo, you're paying a certain percentage of 35 to 50% worth of duties and VAT. All of a sudden, when you're importing through the Netherlands, you're not paying that VAT percentage at all. You have to pay for duties, as we said. Duties is something that you must pay. But sometimes you have 0% rated products. So do have an HS code check and a tariff check to your products in the EU, so you know exactly how much you're going to pay, which really fixes your costs. You know your bottom line, especially when importing goods into Europe. And the Netherlands gives you that ability. And through Qatar Global Logistics, we do door-to-door solutions. So we can come and pick up the goods wherever your manufacturer is based, and we'll deliver it to the final destination, whether it's an Amazon center, whether it's a client, whether it's in your own warehouse. we'll do it in the best cost effective, in the best tax effective way.
Awesome. Now, to conclude the episode, something I want to bring to the table as well, because I start to hear this more and more in our meetings with our clients, but also when I go to events, is everything around the EPR, right? Yeah. So this is becoming a big thing in Europe, and some people is very confused. So tell us a little bit, just high level wise, what is EPR about and why people should be aware of this if they're going to expand in Europe?
Yeah, I think it's something that if you're not aware already, you have to be aware, because it's something that's going to be expanded to all 27 EU countries very soon. Mm-hmm. It's an environmental policy, an environmental law. And I speak about consumers being a lot more environmentally aware of the products that you're buying. And sometimes the brands that I deal with, sometimes they don't understand it, because what the governments in the EU are trying to push is for more sustainable products being produced. So EPRs is for anything, for any product that's being sold in the EU. Currently, it's compulsory in Poland, Germany, France, and Spain. Some of the categories are already implemented in Amazon. Amazon require you to have these numbers. And the main reason there is to, as I said, to make sure that it's all about the life cycle of the product. The companies and the governments are trying to tax you on the potential disposal of the product. So the higher percentage of plastics, of packaging, of electronics, of batteries that your products have, the higher percentage and the higher eco contribution you'll have to make towards those government. It's to understand the overall value of your products and the life cycle of your product.
Yeah.
So as an advice, what I would do is obviously embrace it, because it's everywhere in the EU, because it's not something that is going anywhere. But also as someone that, you know, pushes business innovation as much as possible.
It's an opportunity to innovate.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an opportunity to, one, take a step ahead of your competition, and two, actually cut down those costs as much as possible, because that is the overall mentality that the government is trying to push towards you.
Yeah, of course. And by nature, what that's going to drive is that you become thinking outside the box, how I make my materials more sustainable, how I make my packaging different, all of that. And at the end of the day, that is going to push you toward being different than the rest. And that's going to give you an edge, especially on Amazon, which is sometimes so competitive, right? So, Piero, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. So I guess for everybody that, you know, wants to work with you guys to do all the things we've been speaking on today's episodes, how people can get in touch with you and your team?
Absolutely. Piero Pereira on LinkedIn. I'm always on there, mainly following your work and trying to copy as much as possible and learn as much as possible. But if you wanted to get in touch with Qatar Global Logistics, you can go through email via inquiries@qatargloballogistics.com. But more than welcome through my LinkedIn or my Instagram.
Awesome. Sure. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.